Okay, this evening, turn with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at the encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well. That's John chapter 4. All right, let's read and see what we find here. Now, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. Now, that's an interesting statement right off the start. He had to pass through Samaria. Other versions say he had need to go through Samaria. And I think the need is very obvious as to why he was wanting to go there. He knew that the Samaritans were in need of what he had. Oddly enough, the disciples, as you know, didn't want him to go. Certainly through Samaria. And the interesting thing about the Samaritans is that they were so disdained by the Jews that they would actually go out of their way and take more time and go around instead of actually going through because they thought perhaps they would come in contact with the Samaritan. And it was so bad, this contact thing with the Jews and the Samaritans was so bad that even if they were walking down a road or a street or in a crowd and they brushed up against one of them, they really disdained that and they felt unclean. It was that type of situation, and the disciples just can't understand why Jesus is wanting to go through Samaria, but he has something that he wants to do there, which we're going to see as we continue reading. So, he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, which would have been noon. So it was right in the middle of the day. It was in the heat of the day. And he was thirsty, so he sits down at this well. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now that's the lady that we're going to be looking at today. That's the encounter that Jesus is going to have with this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well here. She came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Okay? The interesting thing about this lady, she was by herself. It was the middle of the day. It was in the heat of the day. And typically, the women of the village or the town would come out early before it got hot in a group and get their water. But she's by herself. Now, there's a reason for that, and we'll see that in just a moment. So Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now, they didn't have fast food places like we do, or where you can just run into a restaurant anywhere you are and get your food. So they had to go into town and to buy food. So they've left Jesus there by himself at the well. The Samaritan woman said to him, this is interesting, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" In other words, she knew who she was. There wasn't any doubt in her mind that she was a Samaritan, and that, generally speaking, Jews looked down on Samaritans. She knew that very well. the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay? Now he's talking to her about something other than a drink that will satisfy thirst. He's talking about a spiritual water, a living water. Well, Jesus knew when he had this encounter with this woman, as he's sitting here at this well, and he sees her coming from afar off, he knows what's going to take place. And that's the purpose of his wanting to go through Samaria, because he knew that not only she needed what he had, the living water that he had, but he knew that the Samaritans in general needed that same living water. And that's the reason that he's there. He knew that the Samaritans were full of misery, that they lacked fulfillment and joy in their life. Who wouldn't if you were an outcast and a whole segment of people would have nothing to do with you? Who would not feel that way? He knew that they didn't have meaning or purpose. And he knew that they needed the truth that only he could provide. The Samaritans needed somebody to share with them this truth, this living water, because they felt empty. And I suspect that many of them felt perhaps like we do on occasion when we're down about things. Lord, just give me enough strength to make it through this day. And we all are there at some point. Lord, just give me enough strength to make it through this day. There's a song that is sung on occasion. I don't know who did it. But it's got pretty powerful words, I think. It's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Just give me one day at a time. And I'm going to tell you something. We're all at that point sooner or later in our lives when we're feeling down, and we just want the Lord to get us through just one more day. And that's exactly the way that this Samaritan woman was feeling. Well, let's see what Jesus says to her. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now the lady doesn't understand what he's talking about here, okay? The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Well, this puzzling to her that he's talking about this living water, and you know, she's thinking in her mind, ooh, I want some of that. Then I won't have to be coming to this well all the time. Okay, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now all of this is puzzling to this lady as she's hearing this, but she's listening because this lady is seeking, okay? She's wanting something better because her life is empty, and we'll see why here in just a second. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. I suspect that because she was by herself and was having to come by herself, you know, there was a reason why she was having to do that. She was an outcast, perhaps brought on by her own actions. Don't know, but perhaps. But anyway, she was having to come not with the rest of the women in the cool of the day to get the water, But she's having to come in the middle of the day when it's hot all by herself with nobody to help carry back whatever it is that she draws. And so she's looking for this living water. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Now, a real interesting dialogue is fixing to take place here between this lady and Jesus. Remember, Jesus already knows what her life is. So she isn't going to reveal anything to him that he doesn't already know and is fully aware of. But he's fixing to expose her for what she is and the problem that she has. And by doing that, by exposing her, he's going to bring out in her what it is that she's looking for. He'll be able to do that. "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly." In other words, Jesus is saying, "You're telling me the truth, and I know it." Okay? "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman,'" now it's interesting that he uses that term. He also used that same term on his mother. Remember when she told Jesus that we're out of wine and you need to take care of the problem? He referred to her as woman. That was not disrespectful. He was just simply using a term that was used at that time. He says to her, "Woman." "Believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming." In other words, she knows about the Messiah, okay? She just doesn't know that Jesus, right there in front of her sitting at the well, is the Messiah yet. But she's fixing to, okay? So she believes that a Messiah is coming. "He is called Christ. When He comes, He will show us all things." That's what she's looking for, okay? The same thing that the Jews were looking for, but they couldn't see it. They all believed that the Messiah was coming, but they did not believe it was Jesus. They just could not understand that all of these teachings that Jesus was doing that were so radical to their thinking that He could possibly be the Messiah. But He's fixing to convince her that He is. "When He comes, He will show us all things." Jesus said to her, now He's fixing to just tell her, point blank, "I who speak to you am He." Here it is. So He's completely divulged. "You're looking for the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I'm sitting right here in front of you." Just then, His disciples came. They marveled that He was talking with a woman. He wasn't just talking with a woman. That was disturbing enough to the disciples. He was talking to a Samaritan woman. Remember, the Samaritans were half Israelite and half Assyrian, those that had been carried into captivity. And that Jesus was speaking to this female Samaritan. So to them, that was doubly troubling in their eyes, But they couldn't see the big picture. Not only could they not see it right then, but there were many occasions, as we will see as we go through these different encounters with individuals that Jesus is going to come in contact with. They just couldn't get the big picture so many times, just like the Jews couldn't get the big picture. And that's why Jesus was trying to have these teaching moments with his disciples to show them things that they needed to know and to understand. Okay? So, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did." In other words, you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. I've had an encounter with this fella out at the well. He is the Messiah. He told me everything about myself. I mean, things that nobody could possibly have known, that are not here in this town at least. And so, can this be the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." Remember, they'd gone to town to get something to eat. Okay, so they brought back some food, and they want him to eat. Now Jesus is fixing to have a teaching moment with them, just like he had with the woman, because they need to be taught as well. "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food?" See, they hadn't caught on yet. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest.' I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest." He's talking about Gentiles here. He's talking about Samaritans. He's talking about taking the truth to somebody other than the Jews, okay, who are rejecting things. And that's why it was coming to the Gentiles, and thank goodness it did, because we're all Gentiles, okay? "He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have gathered in their labor." In other words, they were the recipient of what others had done. Okay? Much like what we are when others sow the truth, who sow the gospel, and we reap the benefits because what others have done. They've planted the seed, just like the group, of course, that just went to Guyana. They've planted seeds down there, and somebody is going to reap the benefits of what they've done. The same way with us when we teach somebody. Somebody is going to reap the benefits. It's always been interesting, if you do much reading about gospel preachers, and particularly preachers of the past, who just baptized thousands of people, okay? Not just dozens or hundreds, but thousands. There are many, many gospel preachers that have baptized thousands of people. Those individuals that were doing that preaching in those meetings and revivals, or whatever you want to call it, were simply presenting the word, and somebody else was going to be reaping the benefits of a person being baptized into Christ and becoming a member of the church. And then after the preacher is long gone who came and presented the word, that individual now is in the body of Christ and hence continues to grow the church. That's what it's all designed to do. And that's exactly what's taking place right here when he talks about somebody else is going to reap all of this labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him. In other words, it wasn't just the woman at the well, because she's gone into town now and she's telling everybody. And this is what we'll see so many times when Jesus has these encounters. The person that he's having the encounter with, sometimes Jesus will say, now don't go tell anybody. But what are they going to do? They're going to go tell everybody. That's just human nature. That's the way we are. Okay? And so many of the people that this lady has told when she went back into Sychar, they're going to believe now. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Now, here's Jesus with his disciples, and he's telling them, I need to go through Samaria. Okay? And they're thinking, oh my goodness, let's go around. We've got other things that we need to do. We've got other places that we need to be. But now, they've got 2 more days tacked on to their trip going through someplace that they didn't want to go to start with. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So now you've got many people, don't know how many, but a lot, okay, plural. You've got many people who believe, and all because Jesus insisted that they go through Samaria. Okay? Then, after the 2 days, he departed for Galilee. Okay, so now they're going on, and they're going to do other things, and they're going to have even more encounters. Well, here's the question. I think for us today, as we draw this lesson to a close. When Jesus came to this woman at the well, and he presented to her the living water instead of the water that she was drawing that would only take care of your thirst, you know, right then when you had a drink, he was offering her something spiritual that was far, far better than the water that she had to come out there every day and draw. And he knew that not only did she need this water, but that the other Samaritans needed the water. It tells us here that because he stayed even more time, that there were others, many people, who believed now of the living water that he's willing to share. So that begs the question. There's a commentator on a channel that I like to watch. I won't give a plug to it, but you'll all know who it is when I say what I'm going to say. Brilliant lady, in my opinion, who says, here's the deal. And here's the deal. When we're looking at this lady that he had this encounter with, we need to ask the question, who needed the drink? Well, it wasn't Jesus. Yes, he was thirsty from his journey, because he sat down at the well and he asked somebody to draw him some water so he can have a drink. But it was the Samaritan woman that needed the drink. It was Jesus' disciples that needed the drink. It was the other people in Sychar that needed the drink. It wasn't Jesus, because they were all dipping into the well that was not spiritual, and they weren't getting what they needed to take care of their thirst. So, when we look at something like that and we try to determine, what exactly was in the well, sometimes I think in our well that we're trying to draw from, we're bringing up or pulling up water, so to speak, that isn't going to satisfy us, because we're looking for the wrong things instead of living water, in the spiritual aspect. And in that well that we have to draw on, that there can be all kinds of things that will cause us to continue to be thirsty. It could be financial problems. It could be illness, poor health, loss of a job, wayward children, addictions. There could be all kinds of things in the well that we're having to try to deal with and that we're pulling up. But if we're not pulling up the spiritual things that we need, if we're not pulling up the living water that Jesus can give, we're going to always continue to be thirsty. We've got to remember that the pursuit of earthly things, things that are not spiritual, will always cause us to continue to be thirsty. And it's only when we draw from the well of the living water, the spiritual water, that we're going to be able to satisfy that thirst. We can pursue earthly things all we want to. Education, careers, jobs, more money, bigger houses. You can just go on and on and on with things that are never going to satisfy your thirst. But if we draw from the well that has the living water, then we're not going to have that thirst. And that's where we need to keep our perspective instead of always trying to draw from that well that's going to continue to just give us dissatisfaction and even more thirst. Well, when Jesus said to his disciples that the fields are white unto harvest, he was trying to get them to understand, disciples, do you now see why I wanted to go through Samaria? Do you see the need that's out there? It isn't just right here with us. And sometimes we're so closed-minded ourselves that we can't even see the fields for our own blindness because we're not looking beyond where we ought to be. I promise you, the fields are white unto harvest right here, all around us. It's all around us. We don't have to go off into foreign lands or faraway places in order to be able to help people to see what it is that they need to find the truth and to allow them to draw from the well of the living water that is going to cause for them true happiness. Because that's the only thing that Jesus will satisfy our thirst with. That's the lesson that we have today with the woman at the well. Any questions or comments? Joe?
I find it interesting.
Just a minute, Joe. Let Ray bring the mic to you. Thank you.
I find it interesting that the men did not believe the woman, but they believed what they saw. They just couldn't give her credit for anything.
Well, I think that was the reason that the woman was having to come to the well to draw water by herself instead of with the rest of the women. Interestingly enough, Joe, based on what you just said about the men, we aren't told what happened with this lady with her five previous husbands. We don't know if they died, if there was a divorce. We don't know any of that. But it doesn't matter. That's not the purpose of what Jesus was doing at the well with this lady at all. Yes, Peggy? Just a moment. Let Ray get over here there to you. We won't always have a microphone for our folks that are online with us so that they can hear of what we're discussing. Thank you.
Verse 42, it said that the people said they no longer believed what she had told them, but they had heard for themselves. I think this even is a subtle indication to us that we all must have an encounter with Christ, not just depend on other people, but look for him and search for him ourselves.
Excellent point. Anything else from anybody? Well, I appreciate so much your being here this evening. Next week, Lord willing, we will talk about the invalid. We will see what type of encounter Jesus had with him there by the pool of Bethesda. And the question that we will attempt to answer, do you want to be healed? That was the question that he asked the man, and that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves all the time. Do we want to be healed? These encounters that Jesus had with these individuals was really something. And it's really a blessing in the book of John that we have all of these individuals that Jesus encountered in these teaching moments that he had with them. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful that that you have given us all of these examples in John of encounters that Jesus had and what came from them and lessons that we can learn. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we can take these lessons and be better ourselves and that we can draw from the living water so that we're never thirsty again. In Jesus' name, amen.